And he says, why are you asking me to put on a summer uniform when it's cold as hell here? Even in Las Vegas, it was cold. And he says, just do what you're told. Put on a summer uniform, pack your bag, and come up. So show up here. They took him to S4. They went down the elevator, the three different levels. He had the red card, blue card, and the green card. At the bottom of the facility, 14 levels below ground. It's like taking a 14-story building and burying it. At the bottom, he got through the door, and there sits a GI. I can't remember whether he said it was Army, Navy, Air Force, or what. Doesn't matter. At that level, it doesn't matter. I said, Commander, welcome. Come on in. And he walked through this door from the elevator, and the kid says, welcome to Pine Gap.
Wonderful.
And the commander says, what the hell are you talking about? He says, sir, you're in Australia. And the commander says, no, we're in Nevada. And the young man says, sir, when you just walked through that door, you're in Australia.
Incredible.
So he came up to me and he says, I'm telling you this because I know that people will listen to you. By that time I'd been traveling and speaking publicly a number of times. And I shared it. And then another active duty type came up to me one time and he said, why the hell are you telling these damn stories? He says, that's classified. You're not supposed to tell those things, you know. That's sensitive. And I says, well, would you believe that it was shared to me by a man who outranked you? Well, that goes on and on, honey. That goes on and on.
So is it? It's because it's not necessarily your direct experience, at least at this time. It is because you know people that come up to you, the people that trust you, people that know you are on the circuit, and they want you to do the sort of like a messenger.
A lot of the classified material that I've been given and that have shared has come from a variety of sources, both military and intelligence operations, by people, some of them I've known in my career, some of them I've served with. The one in DIA, and he was with me in South Vietnam. He was a master sergeant there when I was out there. Now he's working as a civilian for defense intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've been getting a lot of information because I am an avenue which apparently the public has come to respect to some level. And the intelligence military guys have learned that when something must come out, that they think should come out, I bring it out.
Okay, now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Wait a minute, I got to tell you that one of the reasons I think I've been successful is I have never compromised any of them in their personal careers and their lives, because for many of them, saying things to me that they've shared is dangerous,
mm-hmm.
because of the crowd that doesn't want it out. But God, they don't want us to know about the Aerospace Command. Would you believe that? Trillions of dollars a year going off to a military command that the American people don't even know exists.
You're talking about Space Command.
I'm talking Aerospace Command.
Okay.
Is that located in
Nebraska?
No. It used to be Nebraska. It used to be Colorado Springs.
Uh-huh.
Now the headquarters, I swear to God, the headquarters is in orbit.
Right.
Now, trillions going to Aerospace Command. There is a 4-star Air Force general who, at last I checked last year, was commanding, Lance Lord. Interesting name. I both swore up and down that Lance Lord is one of them. But Lance Lord commands the Aerospace Command, and it's a joint services space command that the American people don't even know exists. It puts NASA to shame.
Okay. Is it an international organization?
Yes, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are British officers serving right along with United States Air Force and Navy officers. Yes. And
okay.
We've done that now since World War II.
British? And what about Australian?
UK. Are you familiar with the Yukusa Pact?
I've heard
UK,
of it.
USA.
Right.
Signed in 1947. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and Great Britain.
Okay.
And the U.S. signed a pact called the Yukusa Pact in 1947, and we've been like this ever since.
Okay. And so we've got a space command, and this is doing what? Going out into interstellar, doing interstellar travel, because we've got whistleblowers talking about superluminal travel, faster than the speed of light.
I was told about hyperluminal flight 20 years ago by a retired aerospace engineer who spent most of his career with Boeing, McDonnell Douglas, and for some time with Lockheed Martin. And
they're going where? I mean, they're going, this is, we're talking outside this solar system, right?
Leaving the system, yes indeed. When Ben Rich, before he retired and died, Ben Rich, who ran the Lockheed Skunk Works, said at one of his retirement dinners, he says, you know, we can take E.T. home. And he said, we've got technology that's 100 years beyond what establishment science would believe. And when he said we can take E.T. home, we're talking about hyperluminal flight. And we've had anti-gravity and we've had zero-point energy for 40 years. And one of the things that gets me frosted so much, I think, you know, my fuse sometimes can get very short, and it's the nature of who I am and how I was trained and raised. Bless their hearts, the American people out there who have been paying the damn bills for all these years deserve to know this. Every time I go to a filling station and put gasoline at $2.75 a gallon in my car, I get pissed off. Because this, we don't need to do this. This is going into the pockets of George Bush family and the rest of them, you know, a bunch of idiots and nitwits. So anybody that's got $1 billion and wants more, they're not people I can get along with.
I agree with that. Okay, we're talking superluminal travel. You talked about a stargate basically under S4 that's going over. I mean, you're also aware of Los Alamos, I imagine, mm-hmm. the time travel that's being conducted from Los Alamos.
Yeah. Well, it was Los Alamos where they had a contained and sustained fusion reaction over 30 years ago. Controlled and contained, sustained fusion reaction.
Okay, well, what does that do? What does that one
allow? That's infinite energy forever.
Okay.
Fusion. My God. And we've got it. Mm-hmm. But the American people don't know.
Right.
I mean, they pay electrical bills on their house. They air, you know. The summer in Phoenix, for God's sake, the air conditioner's going night and day. 114 degrees outside. Every time the bill comes due, my wife has a fit. And I happen to know that we have fusion energy, and that shouldn't happen, that we don't need to do this, and we're being manipulated and dangled on a string. Oh, my God. Don't get me started. I'm going to have to get myself a Jack Daniels, and then we'll really have an interview here.
All right. Well, I don't mind.
That guy sticks his head in. He says, oh, Mr. Dean, you got a minute? And I said, sure, come on in. And I said, sit down, sit down. And he says, thank you. He says, I've been interested in just dropping in and saying hello. He says, I've heard some of your interviews. I've seen you on the tube. Mm-hmm. And I think I was going through the lawsuit at that time.
Sounds like it.
And he said, been fascinated about some of the things you had to say. And we sat and had a pleasant conversation for over 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, I want to thank you for your time. And he says, I've enjoyed it. He says, you've answered my questions. He got up, smiled, shook hands, out the door he went. He got up, couldn't have been 30 seconds. I got up from my desk because I
realized I hadn't found out who the hell this guy was.
Right.
He didn't give me a card. He introduced himself. I think he gave me his name, but I couldn't remember who it was. And I get up and I jump out the door and I'm going out. And I head for the elevator because I figure he's gone down. To get into that sheriff's department, you had to go through security downstairs. You had to lay your driver's license out. They give you a little pass when you're in the building. They find out who is it you want to visit. And then they let you in. And they often will call up and say, Mr. Dean, you've got somebody wants to say hello or whatever. I have not asked him who he was, so I go throw him out looking. He's gone. I called downstairs to the security guard, the guy on the desk. I says, look, stop whoever just visited me before he leaves. I want to find out who the hell I've been talking to. He says, Dean, there's nobody visiting you. Nobody went through here. Nobody checked in. He says, nobody can come up and, you know. I said, now, I just spent 30 minutes talking to a pleasant young man in my office, and he got up and left, and I didn't find out who the hell he was. And the sheriff's deputy says, hey, Dean, there's nobody. He said, are you all right? He said, are you fantasizing, for Christ's sake? Are you guys drinking something up there? And he didn't check in. He didn't check out. He just dropped in and visited me for 30 minutes, and he looked just as human as you and I did.
Was he a blue-eyed blonde?
No.
So have any of these individuals ever shared with you where they are from?
No.
Have you asked them?
Yes.
Okay.
And I generally would get the same answer that I got last year.
Which is?
I asked the woman who I was chatting with during the break last year here at the conference. She and her husband, I thought husband, they looked like a pair, were chatting amiably, pleasantly, shaking hands, looking straight into each other's faces. As human as you and I. And in the middle of the conversation, I got this gut feeling, which Ingo Swann describes as being an intuitive gut reaction to when you when you meet an extraterrestrial, there is a part of you that responds at a gut level. It's an intuitive awareness somehow that this is different. And that's what prodded me a year ago to say to him, you're not from here, are you? And she got a big smile. And then I thought, I felt a little embarrassed. I said, I don't mean like, are you from Miami or New York or Los Angeles? But I said, you're not from here, are you? And she smiled and spoke up and said, no, we're not from here. And I think she had been reading me. Because they do that. And I said, where are you from? And she says, if I were to tell you, I don't think you would understand. And I didn't accept that as a slur or an insult. I understood, she said, honestly, you wouldn't understand. Well, later it hit me that what they were probably talking about is from another dimension. And several times I've confronted them in my relationship and asked them, where the hell are you from? You know, a planet, a star system. Even another galaxy. Did you know that the real Galactic Federation headquarters is not even in our galaxy? Now, you put that in their pipes and let them smoke that and see what kind of response you get. I mean, we're not talking about interplanetary or interstellar. We're talking about intergalactic. We're talking about interdimensional. All of the above. And our authorities have known this since before I retired in 76. But anyhow, she said very, very honestly, no, we're not from here. You wouldn't understand. And I actually cared with you. She came up to me in San Jose at the Bay Area. Didn't see him.
She came up and she came over and ran across the room.
She said, they didn't believe you when you told them, did they?
They didn't believe you when you told them. And I says, no, they didn't
and
believe
you,
me.
And you actually shared that at our Awake and Aware conference.
Did I?
So and, this and, had to and, be after that.
And she says, that was to be expected. Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, okay, what do you want to say?
Just one more. In any of these encounters, have they ever specifically told you a message like, this is what we want you to say, or this is what we would like for you to do? Have they given you any specific instructions, or is it just time, or friendly, just to let you know we're here?
Well, I've gotten a great deal of what I'm doing has met approval. I've got a great deal of what I'm doing has pleased them. This apparently, I've gotten this from what I gather to be a rather high spiritual level. That what I'm doing is what I came to do. What I'm doing is crucial and important. What I'm doing is necessary. And what I'm doing is making a difference. Which is why I came out of 5 years of seclusion.
What I want to know is if you can talk about what you have learned about the future from these individuals and or from meetings or, you know, these whistleblowers, in essence, that have come up to you behind the scenes from the military and been talking to you. Because we did an interview and you talked about Nibiru, but I mean beyond that. Are you being told what some of the plans are? Are you being told, for instance, about China and a future war, such that we got, we have a recent whistleblower is talking about what he calls the Anglo-Saxon agenda, in which a nuclear war is actually planned. And my belief is that these kinds of things will be stopped, but there are, we have gotten other information from people like Pete Peterson that indeed that these are on the agenda and that they may be allowed to transpire in certain ways.
I'll tell you what I've gotten for what it's worth. We do have a future. And it's glorious. And I think I said that in Spain last year. Mm-hmm. We're in for some difficult times. This transition through this adolescence into adulthood as a species is going to be painful, and there are going to be some difficult and awkward times. But no, there is not going to be a nuclear war because they're not going to allow it. Because the planet is too valuable. The flora and fauna in this zoological garden is too precious. And they have already intervened several times. They've made their point during the Reagan administration. They made it to Gorbachev when he was in office. They've made the point many times. They made it to Rendlesham Forest, Bentwater, when they melted the warheads. They've made the point that we're not going to allow you nitwits to start a mess, a holocaust that's going to end up halfway destroying this beautiful, beautiful planet. Now, you've messed it up bad enough as it is with your garbage and your, you know. But you, no, there's not going to be a nuclear war, and they're not going to allow it because, frankly, we don't own the planet. And this little tidbit came out of all places in a movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still. The second one came out when Klaatu, whatever his name was, says, you don't own this planet. This planet is not yours. And that little tidbit was dropped in the middle of that movie. And as I say, I conclude that in this subliminal education program.
Okay,
same with Avatar.
But Bob, are you being made aware that there is also a war going on in between various ET groups?
I know there is a struggle going on, but it is not a full-scale war.
Okay.
There is a struggle between one group. Apparently, they've got a divided family, the clan. The clan has been divided for a long, long time.
You're talking about the on and off
in terms of situation. There's been this, dysfunctional family situation. And that's been going on, and we've been in the middle of that before. Well, that's still going on. But I have learned, and I will point this out, and I want it made it clear on the tape, that there is a hierarchy out there. And there are intelligences in the hierarchy above us that have an agenda of their own. Among the different groups that are coming and going, some of them have an agenda of their own. But there is a hierarchy here, and I have learned this firsthand, and I have been urged to share this, that there is a higher hierarchy out there that is predominantly spiritual. And we're talking about, type 4 civilization. The kind of people that we would refer to as angelic. Our ancestors would have deified them. Our ancestors, for God's sake, deified the Anunnaki. And they sure as hell weren't gods. They were as rotten in many ways as we are today.
And
but there
the
is
Anunnaki,
a spiritual hierarchy
I understand.
There. And this planet and this race, this species, and the life form on this planet is so precious that this planet was terraformed. Life was introduced here as a part of a plan. Now that plan is still underway. And now the higher levels in that hierarchy have apparently grabbed some of the lower levels above us, grabbed them by the shirt and gotten their attention and said, hey, you ain't going to be able to pull this off anymore because we're not going to let you screw it up. You screwed it up when you genetically manipulated them and engineered them as a slave race, and now you're going to contribute to making sure that they can make this evolutionary jump, which they are about to make as a species. And this hierarchy out there, I would say, is where this lovely young man from Galilee incarnated from.
Okay, so you're talking about six-dimensional beings.
Oh my God, we're talking about beings from a higher dimensional level.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what do you know about, for example, the children that disappear off the planet?
Not children, just not just children. You don't have any idea how many
adults as well
people
but
disappear
every
year?
Especially the children, yes. So
hundreds
have you been talked
of
to
thousands
about that?
Disappear.
That's right.
Many of them, it's a matter of choice. Many of them like to get the hell out of here. A lot of them are taken, and taken to other places.
Right.
They are, many of them are alive and well in other places, other planets, other dimensions.
Okay.
Yeah, the number of people who disappear every year, the government, the so-called shadow government, is aware of that. Nothing they can do about it because they're not in control.
Okay, and are you also aware that there are simultaneous realities going on in which different timelines are playing out? Mm. Have you tapped into this? Okay.
But don't try to explain that to Joe Sixpack on the street.
Right.
And I love Joe.
Uh-huh. I understand.
I spent most of my life working with Joe Sixpack.
Uh-huh.
But don't try to explain that. Yeah, there. Look, when you're dealing with advanced technologies, advanced spiritual development civilizations that are, like Kaku calls type 3, 4, who can manipulate matter and time, our concept of time is fundamental. I mean, our concept of time is childlike. Time is not at all what we think. And one of the things I've learned in my travels is that you cannot separate space and time. Space-time is a given. It's an unity. Mm-hmm. When you travel in space, you travel in time. And almost all of them who come here from incredible distances, and those trips take just a few seconds in many cases, just, you know, and they're here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about guys dropping in from 65, 200 light years away. They're here.
And again, you know this because of your own experience and interaction with them in which they've told you this, or because other military personnel have come to you and told you this?
Both.
Okay.
Both, to a point that I'm totally convinced or I wouldn't have the courage to share this with you.
Okay.
I'm not the only one who's had this happen to him in his life. I'm one of the oldest old farts who's speaking out about it, but I'm not the only one there. You've talked to lots of different people who've been the same places I've been, who've met the same people I've met, and who've learned the same things I've learned. So what my little 2 cents, for whatever it's worth, is not the only bit of information. You've been getting it from a variety of sources. Some of them are not that reliable, and I see you smiling. But most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
This information is a problem we've got. We've had it from the beginning. And I jokingly, I think, said to you last night about the case where we had this disinformation program underway by a bunch of clucks back in Washington. And they spent a lot of time and money putting this out, this big information thing, to get people, you know, focused here. And then they found out that the disinformation they were putting out was true. Boy, don't you think that caused a stir at Langley? Oh my.
Yeah, that's actually a great twist.
I've developed a sense of humor about it, the whole thing, particularly when I found out that the human race has a future. The planet is not going to be destroyed. That the kids who found the box of hand grenades are not going to be able to play with them and destroy this beautiful planet. Now, along the way, there are going to be some difficulties.
Okay, what do you know about, for example, what do you know about the Middle East?
The Middle East?
Yes.
Oh.
Are you aware that there's a major portal there?
That cauldron is one of the primary focuses of the experiment. Because that particular cauldron, and I use that term particularly with a choice here, was selected because of the populations that exist there and have existed there. And part of the major experiment that's underway was initiated there. Islam, Christianity, and Judaism all started in the Middle East because they decided that that was an appropriate place to stir up and prepare the, what do they call it, chemical?
Petri dish.
Petri dish.
Yeah.
The Middle East is a Petri dish.
I understand.
In a laboratory that they have been operating from the beginning of time. Good God, even Zoroaster was there.
Okay. I want to know about the modern day Middle East. I would like to know if any of your contacts are talking to you about what's going on, for example, in the Gulf of Aden.
Why there?
Because there's a collection of Navy and all kinds of ships from all over the world, from what we understand. And I'm just wondering if you're getting any reports. We have a whistleblower by the name of Aaron McCollum, who went on the record, took a lot of courage to do so, and I'm just wondering if you've been given any information about that particular Stargate and what's going on there.
First of all, let me tell you that there are different places on the planet where Stargates have existed for eons. And they were established and located there because geologically, there was a mineralogy available in the granite or the crystal or whatever that were particularly appropriate for a Stargate, for a portal. Mm-hmm. There's even a place in Arizona called Portales. The Indians knew of a portal there 200 years ago. The Spaniards named it Portales, a little town out there. I haven't been there, but it's southeast of Tucson, I think. Maybe northeast. Anyhow, there are portals here, there, and everywhere. There's one up in Utah, you know. You read the book, I think, The Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Sure.
There's a portal there. There's mm-hmm. portals here, there, and everywhere.
Yes.
There's a portal at Rainier. They can open a portal any place, any time that they choose. They can open a portal along the highway between Ajo and Tucson at 2 in the morning, just like that.
Okay. But to get back to the Gulf of Aden?
Well, I'm sure there are a couple of portals there.
Mm-hmm. And are you aware of any specific goings on there that have to do with, because my understanding is that they are actually, I mean, they've got a massing of troops that are happening in Yemen, and we're going to have to cut this very short. But are you aware of this to some degree? Have you been getting reports?
Well,
you don't need to be specific, but I need an answer. You've been getting
Gulf of Aden, you said, huh?
Yes.
Well, it may be tied in with the fact that there is going to be a revolution in Iran. Yeah, that's pretty definite.
Okay.
And it's not going to be one that we will initiate. It's one that's going to be initiated from within Iran itself. And that collection up in the Gulf of Aden is probably connected to that. There's going to be a revolution in Iran probably before the end of this year. And I'm pretty certain this is going to happen, it's going to keep the Israelis from bombing the Iranian nuclear facilities.
I have one more question before we draw this to a close, and I've already got a great ending, so we don't need to go into one here. But I want to know if you're aware of some synthetic beings that are coming into the planet at this time.
What, synthetic?
Yeah.
Where did you get that term?
Well, from various whistleblowers.
Well, you know, some of the little grays are synthetic.
Okay, but this is a specific kind of being that is actually arriving from outer space on the planet at this time.
A laboratory product.
Of a sort,
so
yes.
To speak. Synthetic. Non-physical.
But they look, for all intents and purposes, mm-hmm. like you and I.
Yes.
So
you go
you're
to a laboratory and turn them out, you know.
Okay. Well, I
was told by a scientist one time, not too many years back, that when the little guys were found inside the ships at Roswell and other places, in Cayman, whatever, some of them survived. Some of them had been banged up a little bit, but they were alive, literally alive. And the military in those days thought, they may be coming after them. They'll come back for them, you know. Well, they didn't. And the military and the scientists have concluded that they went back to the laboratory and made some more. Like we make potato chips, you see. And that sounds awfully cold-blooded, doesn't it? But it isn't. When you can manufacture a living creature, a biological android, as it were, in a laboratory.
And we can do that now, can't we?
We? Who are we talking about, we?
Well, I'm asking.
You're talking about the shadow government, our
science? Yeah,
absolutely. Carrie, let me tell you this in closing, that there are things going on in laboratories in this country and laboratories in the United Kingdom, in Australia, in China, that the Christian fundamentalists would have a fit over if they knew about. We are cloning human beings. And that's just science. We're doing the same thing the Anunnaki did 200,000 years ago. We're cloning human beings. Aboard some of the ships, there are laboratory ships out there. And you've gotten this from other whistleblowers.
On some of those laboratory ships, there are vast containers filled with cloned human beings. And would you believe, you probably would, because you've been doing some homework, that if you were to take me and you or Jim or any of the others of us out there, they might be able to show you a clone of us. And they are able to take, to help us take our soul from this body and put it into a new body?
Yes. Yes, I've heard this.
That is a reality. Now, you see, that in itself is sensitive. How do you go tell that to Joe Sixpack out there? How do you tell that to a Muslim fundamentalist or a Christian fundamentalist or any fundamentalist? Well, as I jokingly have said when I was speaking over in Dallas, you look for the door and you check the windows so you can find a way to get the hell out of here if the chairs start flying. Because I did that in Dallas a number of years ago, and I thought, man, I'm in deep trouble here. And at the end of it, I had 800 people out there. Cheyenne, bless her heart, remember her?
Yes, I remember.
She was my sponsor. After it was over with, I got a standing ovation. But down the center aisle, here this little chubby, round guy with a Bible under his arm. He's heading down the aisle, and he's heading toward me. And oh, I thought, oh, God, well, I'm in for it. Because I had said some pretty blunt things, particularly about my good friend from Galilee, you see, as to who he really was. And I thought, this little dude's going to get me, and we're going to be rolling on the floor here, and he'll probably beat the hell out of me, because he was pretty tough looking little guy. He leaps on the stage. Didn't think he could physically do it. And he's Bible in his heart. He threw his arms around. Brother Dean, God bless you. You said it the way it needs to be said. And I could have, you know, I almost keeled over. Brother Dean, you said it. And I, you know, and we, you know, were hugging and kissing, you know, and we were great friends. Now, there was a fundamentalist who I didn't offend. Mm-hmm. And God help him, I hope there are more of those out there. And I'm sure there are.
Well, Brother Dean, you said it like it needs to be said.
Well, Sister Carrie, it's been my pleasure, honey. And I'm not making fun of these fundamentalist people. Some of them are my best friends.
I understand.
And God loves us all.
That's right. Absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it.
For your courage. And your service to humanity.
Not courage, baby. It's, you know, they rubbed me the wrong way. I got angry. That's why I sued the sheriff. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
First you get angry, and then you decide what to do with that anger, and that takes courage, and well, and you've got that.
Thank you.
Well, okay. I'm so glad that you're back doing it again.
Listen, one of the reasons I'm back doing it is because of you.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I know you were dying when I saw you.
Oh,
I am done.
My son accused me of committing suicide slowly.
Uh-huh. You said, I'm over, I'm done. I said, no, you're not. You've got a whole lot.
I said, I'm up to here with this shit. I'm not going to do this anymore.
You were like this. You were hardly moving. And